to Psalms 119. 119. Y'all looking prosperous this morning. Hallelujah. Healthy, wealthy, wise, victorious, strong, joyful. Psalms 119, are you there? Let's put our eyes on verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. David said, I'll pick up the pace. I'll go faster, God, when you give me a heart that can go faster. Come on now. I will run the way. How many of you know there's a right way and there's a wrong way? There is a way that seemeth right, and it ain't right. It leads to death, right? But the psalmist David said, I will run the way of your word, your commandments. When you do something, God, because I can only run so fast. But if you enlarge my heart, I'll be able to keep up. How many of you know his commandments run swiftly, right? And God wants to do things in acceleration, suddenlies, immediatelys, right now, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. Before this day is over. 24-hour miracles. Might as well get with it right now. That just came out of my mouth. So what happens here is when we're talking about our heart, we're not talking about our physical heart. We're talking about our spirit. You know, when you read the Bible, you know, it says if you know, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, it's not talking about your blood pump. It's talking about your spirit, right? And so your spiritual capacity is flexible. You know what flexible means? It means it can expand or it can contract. When it contracts, you're backslidden. Are you following this? That's none of us in here. Hallelujah. Hopefully. Right? When you shall enlarge my heart. So, what's going on in these faith lifts is your faith is increasing. Your faith is enlarging. We're going to see this today. And that allows you to run faster with the Word of God than ever before. That allows you to qualify for acceleration. What would have taken this amount of time, you're going to leap ahead because you put God first place. Are you following this? And you've sat at his feet and you're receiving what he's saying, and what would have taken this long now all of a sudden comes right here. Hallelujah. See? And because the Word of God is not confined to days. It's not confined to time. See? And so what we are after in this month of February is this enlargement of our hearts and enlargement of our faith, enlargement of our spiritual capacity to receive. Are you following me so far? Okay, because when that happens, see, my spiritual capacity to receive is nothing like it was out at the farm. It's way beyond where I started. Are you following this? Because of applying myself to the things of God. Now, your spiritual enlargement of the heart is your belief system broadening beyond the limit level that you used to believe. Are you following this? Spiritual enlargement of your heart is your belief system broadening past where you used to believe. Okay. I was raised in the Methodist church. I was raised hearing being born again over and over and over and over again. So when Jesus spoke to me, 16 July 1988, I knew who it was. And when I surrendered my life to Jesus, I got delivered from drugs, alcohol, perversion, all the mess, and the hatred for my wife and so on and so forth in a moment of time. But I did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost because of how I was raised. So my spiritual capacity was just that being born again. Are you following this? And so when we were in that first service in that Assembly of God church, when everybody started singing in tongues, and I said, my goodness, I'm in a demon-possessed church. I got to get out of here. And I reached down to grab Mama Alberta's hand, and it wasn't there. And she had both hands up in the air, tears streaming down her face, singing in tongues. And I thought she done got demon-possessed, and I'm going to have to cast devil out of her when we get home. And then the pastor got up and spoke exactly about singing in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Ghost taken through Scripture. I never saw it before. What was happening? Faith cometh by hearing. So my spiritual capacity broadened. My belief system now reached out into something I didn't believe before and grabbed a hold of it. And it was just a short amount of time before I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, the same thing with healing, prosperity, righteousness, new creation realities, and all these exceeding great and precious promises that God has in His Word for us. You can read about them and know that the Bible says that, and then not ever receive it because your spiritual capacity never was enlarged to be able to grab it and bring it into the three-dimensional world. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. I've been witnessing to him for 30-plus years. And he just said, Philip, I just got questions. I said, yeah, God's got answers. And he was giving me all these questions that normal people couldn't give him an answer for. Because, and he thought he was brilliant with it, you know, because, well, I'll just throw this at Philip. And I said, well, wait a minute, let me answer that. And he never heard answers like that. See? By the time we were done talking, he didn't leave the conversation thinking, well, see, he couldn't give me no answers, and why I believe what I believe is what I believe, and so on and so forth. Couldn't do it. See? Well, he just got broadened. I'll call him later on sometime and let him meditate in that, right? Because I told him, I said, don't call me on your deathbed and have to lead you to the Lord when you could just do it now. Praise the Lord. I actually said that to him, all right? Because we grew up together. And he said, well, you know, he got over into the Bible. Bible was written by men. I said, no, it wasn't. He said, yeah, it was. Different men wrote that. I said, God used different men to write it. But see, you don't know what the Bible says. If you knew what the Bible says, you wouldn't say that. Because the Bible says that the Word of God is God-breathed. But you don't know that. And because you don't know that, you conclude that. And see, he's silent when he's hearing that, right? But you and I, we're Bible believers. If the Bible says it, and it's a statement of truth, right? We're on it, right? So we're being enlarged in, we're being enlarged every time we come together, you know, if you really come in here to receive. But we're concentrating this month on leaping ahead, you know, and getting ahead of, you know, even come from behind, if you will, in some situations, to where we're supposed to be. Amen. Well, you know, I can never teach on this without Secretariat. I mean, Secretariat to me, he captured my heart when I was 14 years old, 1973. And, you know, he was a Triple Crown winner. And Secretariat set records in all three, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. And when I was preaching somewhere, Paris, Kentucky, and there was a man there that heard me preach on Secretariat. And he said, I'd like to give you a tour of the Claiborne Farm. He knew the guy that ran that farm. And so me and Mom Alberta, we went and had a tour of where Secretariat was buried there and all that and so on and so forth. And afterwards, he took us to lunch. And we're at lunch, and he said, Pastor Philip, I have something for you. I said, what is it? And he gave me this. Not this case. He gave me this, and I've talked about it, but I don't think I've ever showed it to you. But I'm going to show it to you today. This horseshoe. Right? Now, this is a horseshoe that Secretariat wore while he was standing stud at Claiborne Farm. Now, on the back is something he wrote that verifies it. And who he got it from was a guy named Garland George. So I did some research on Garland George and found out that he was in truth the guy that ran the Claiborne Farm. And I found out his telephone number, and I called him. And I said, I'm Philip Derber, and I received something from Mr. Bailey, and it's a horseshoe that says Secretariat under it, and it says it came from you. And he said, well, what's the numbers on it? And I told him the numbers on it. And he said, yeah, that came from Secretariat. So I know that one nail of Secretariat went for $5,000. One nail. Now, when Mr. Bailey gave me this, he said, did you notice when you were on that tour, when they brought out those horses, that they were just shoed in the front? And I said, yeah, I did. That caught my attention. Because when they brought them out, where they go clop, clop, well, the front was making a different sound than the back, and I noticed that there was just horseshoes on the front. He said they don't put them on the back because they don't want them to dig in, running around out in the field and hurt themselves. Because, you know, they're there to be studded out, right? And I said, yeah. He said, well, they only do that 3 times a year. And he said, you do the math. And so I knew that Secretariat retired after being a 3-year-old. And he only lived to be 19 because he got a foot disease. So that's 16 years. And if they only did it 3 times a year, that's 6 horseshoes 6 times 16 is 96. So I got one of the 96 horseshoes that Secretariat wore after being studied out, right? And so God knew in my heart, you know, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But when they, when Secretariat died, now his sire was Bold Ruler, and his dam was something royal. So you take something royal and Bold Ruler together, you get Big Red, right? And I got several things, pictures and so on, hand signed, and even mane, hair from Secretariat and so on and so forth. God's blessed me with that over the years, right? But when they did the autopsy on Secretariat, the veterinarian that did it had, in his words, had done thousands of autopsies. And he said, I've never seen a horse that had such a large heart, twice the size of a normal horse's heart. They couldn't figure out how he could be so big and get up to speed and maintain that speed for so long. But afterwards, when they discovered how big his heart was, then they knew he could, that heart could sustain that speed all the way through the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and Belmont, the longest one. They were saying, well, he was fast and so on and so forth, but at the Belmont, that's a different ball game. Well, let's watch the Belmont. Look up there on the screen. Turn up the volume. Volume.
Secretariat away very well, has good position on the rail, and in fact is now going up with the leader. They're moving for the first turn. It is Secretariat. Sham on the outside is also moving along strongly. And now it's Sham. Sham and Secretariat are right together into the first turn. Mike Allen has third behind them. Then it's Twice a Prince, and the trailer is Private Smiles as they go by the turn. Those two together, Sham on the outside. Sham getting ahead in front as they move around the turn with Secretariat second. Then there's a large gap. Make it eight lengths back to Mike Gallant in third and Twice a Prince fourth. And Private Smiles is still the trailer. They're on the backstretch. It's almost a match race now. Secretariat's on the inside by a head. Sham is on the outside. They've opened 10 lengths on Mike Gallant, who is third by a head, with Twice a Prince fourth. Then it's another eight lengths back to Private Smiles, who is trailing the field. They continue down the backstretch, and that's Secretariat now taking the lead. He's got it by about a length and a half. Still Sham, 10 lengths back, Mike Gallant, Twice a Prince. They're moving on the turn now. For the turn, it's Secretariat. It looks like he's opening. The lead is increasing. Make it three and a half. He's moving into the turn. Secretariat holding on to a large lead. Sham is second, and then it's a long way back to Mike Gallant and Twice a Prince. They're on the turn. It's Secretariat is blazing along the first three quarters of a mile in 109 and 4/5. Secretariat is widening now. He is moving like a tremendous machine. Secretariat by 12. Secretariat by 14 lengths on the turn. Sham is dropping back. It looks like they'll catch him today as Mike Allen and Twice a Prince are both coming up to him now. But Secretariat is all alone. He's out there almost the 16th of a mile away from the rest of the horses. Secretariat is in a position that seems impossible to catch. He's into the stretch. Secretariat leads his field by 18 lengths. And now Twice a Prince has taken second, and Mike Gallant has moved back to third. They're in the stretch. Secretariat has opened a 22-length lead. He is going to be the Triple Crown winner. Here comes Secretariat to the wire. An unbelievable, an amazing performance. He hits the finish 25 lengths in front. It's going to be Twice a Prince second, Mike Gallant third.
It was actually 31 lengths that he won by.
An amazing, unbelievable.
notice the number one contending horse named Sham. Did you see the crowd? Folks, there's a great cloud of witnesses that are watching this end time race that we're in. And God is enlarging our heart to set records. To set records. Come on now. Come on now. You are not this average little Christian. Right? Little Sunday going Christian, right? So I want you to see today about what's happening on the inside of you. Because the enemy doesn't want you to have an enlarged heart. Because when your heart enlarges, look out. And Secretariat is the only animal to ever make it in the Athlete Hall of Fame. Along with human athletes. Right? And so a remarkable horse. And I told the Lord, I said, when we come back riding on horses, I won't be on Secretariat if I can. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I did tell him that. So that's what we're looking at this morning about largeness of heart. Go with me to 1 Kings. Your heart is being enlarged. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. 1 Kings 4, let's put our eyes on verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and what?
Large.
What?
Large.
Even as the sand that is on the seashore. So you see what goes hand in hand with largeness of heart is wisdom and understanding, right? Now we looked last week at Zoe, the God kind of life. Remember that? Here we see Solomon with largeness of heart. He went to God and he said, I don't know how to govern your people. I don't know what to do. And, you know, I just know that my father said, get wisdom. It's the principal thing. And with all thy getting, get understanding. So I'm asking you for wisdom on how to lead your people. And God said, because you did not ask for riches and all these different things, I'm going to give you wisdom. And with all that wisdom, you're going to have everything that goes along with wisdom, right? And so for Solomon to have the ability to live this magnificent, luxurious life, the largeness of his heart to be able to create and to build and to have all these resources and things that were necessary, for so much so that the Queen of Sheba would come and faint at seeing what he had and conclude the half has not been told. Right? Remember that? That the largeness of heart had to be. God gave him largeness of heart because God knew if he remained in that same state that he would not be able to comprehend shields that were made of gold. Are you following? And the different things of how he conducted his kingdom. Are you following this? So there had to be an enlargement of his capacity to be able to create and comprehend and live that kind of lifestyle as a king. Am I talking to kings this morning? Right? So there is a largeness of heart, just like you can work a certain muscle in your body and enlarge it, right? Well, you can work your faith, and your faith enlarges. Are you following this? And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by that rhema word of God. So largeness of heart, that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, okay? Are you with me? Because we're talking about living this four-dimensional life in this three-dimensional world. And to be able to do that, you're going to have a 4D capacity. Some people choke. They can't get past the 3D seen realm. What they see, what they hear, how they think, so on and so forth. They can't get past it. And they're in lockdown. All they can see is what goes on in this world. And they're just fact checkers. That's all they do. They just check everything by natural facts. And that's where they live. And consequently, they live substandard, right? But you and I, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we walk by faith, not by sight, right? We understand that the worlds were framed by things which do not appear, see? And so you and I, we live in a higher dimension than the natural man. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness unto him, right? Right? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart those things which God hath prepared for them that believe, but God hath revealed them unto us. And when that revelation comes, your heart expands. It enlarges. If you receive it. If you receive it. Are you following? Now, I just believe we got receivers in the house this morning. Amen. Okay. Now, go with me to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. We know, you know, this is Arise, Shine, for Your Light Has Come chapter, right? But let's put our eyes on verse number 4. I want you to see this. He says, lift up your eyes round about and see. Now, when it says lift up your eyes, whenever you see lift up your eyes, it's talking about seeing beyond the natural. Remember when Jesus said, lift up your eyes, for the fields are white unto harvest? Right? See beyond. See beyond the natural. Right? And he's telling us right here, lift up your eyes round about and see with your spiritual eyes. And if you can see with your spiritual eyes, you're going to see they're gathering themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at your side. Do you see that? How many of you are seeing your family members saved? No matter what they, no matter how goofy they are, no matter what they, what kind of so-called revelation they got now, you've lifted up your eyes and you see what God has said. Right? Right? So he goes on in the next verse and says this. Then you shall see. So in verse 4, we see that's 4D. Verse 5 is 3D. Are you following this? It says, if you'll lift up your eyes in verse 4 and see, and you see this gathering happen, then in verse 5, he says, you'll see it. You then, when is then? when you lift up your eyes and see beyond what you're looking at. Whatever you're looking at this morning, no matter how bad it looks, or how what the doctor's report was, or what the lawyer said, or what your body's trying to tell you, or whatever the situation may be, if you lift up your eyes, and that's what we're doing in this book. Every time you're in the book, we're lifting up our eyes and we're seeing what God has said. And when we see what God has said, then we shall see and flow together. Watch this now. And your heart shall fear the Lord, and be what? And be what? Be enlarged. Why? Because God has to enlarge you. Why? Because there's an abundance of sea that's going to be converted unto you. And the wealth of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Do you see that? That's when you see it. First, you got to see it in the Spirit. And when you see it in the Spirit, your heart is being enlarged. Don't make no difference what kind of sham the devil's bringing. Hallelujah. We're going to outrun sham. Hallelujah. This is when you see. So we see that the heart has to be enlarged for all of this abundance. And that word forces is wealth. Comes to us. God ain't going to drop it on you with your heart in the same condition, because it'll destroy you. You don't have the wisdom. You don't have the understanding on how to be a steward over that. That's why when people start to get blessed, they get a raise, or they get this, or they get that, all of a sudden they're cutting back. Well, what's going on with that? What's happened? Well, I'll tell you what's happened. They start thinking. See? Now, God can shift you around to other outlets where you might have been given to that ministry or that mission field or whatever. And he says, all right, that season's over here. But he ain't going to say, that season's over, and that season's over, and that season's over. Within your mind, you're thinking, that's more money for me. You won't say that. I remember when I was out running. We were in Kansas, and we had been doing World Vision. We had two little kids back then. And I'm out running, and the Lord said, how come you stopped World Vision? Well, I thought that season was over. No, I stopped it because things were screaming. See? And so I came back into the hotel room, and God had been speaking to Mama Alberta, and on the television was a World Vision advertisement. And I told her what happened, boom, and you know, today we got 10 kids, right? Right? Hallelujah. Them little fellas, I tell you what, you get them little pictures, and you see, you stay with them, and finally they graduate, and the parents don't need help anymore. Some of them don't have parents and whatever. You get them through school, and you know they'll send their little pictures, and they'll color you a little picture and all this stuff. Now they're sending videos, right? But the point being is God don't tell you to stop. He may redirect. See, something's happening in your heart. Something's happening in your heart that you're pulling back. No leaps. No, that was a no leap statement right there. Hallelujah. Now, see what happens is when your heart gets enlarged, it makes things that you used to struggle with look small. You know, I've used this comparison many times, but when I got to Travis Air Force Base and I went out on that flight line for the first time, and I'm looking at these Goliaths. I mean, these are massive airplanes, C-5s. At that time, the biggest airplanes in the world, and almost 300 feet long and 250-some feet on the wingtip to wingtip, and 65 feet tall to the T-tail, and just massive, massive. And when you see a flight line full of them, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just huge. And I worked on them things for 3 years and got good at it. And, you know, our job was all the landing gear, all the cargo doors, the front visor, the aft doors, and all the flight controls, the ailerons, rudders, elevators, spoilers, flaps, slats, everything. And I knew how to do it all. And when I got to Kwajalein and got off that airplane, and I looked at this C-7, and I'm like, what is that, you know? And this is like a toy to me. And they stuck me down in the phase dock. That's where you bring a airplane in every 150 hours to do these maintenance checks. And I'm down there, and I'm going through the maintenance check, and it said, you know, remove the rudder and check the bearings. So I went to the supervisor and said, I'll take that job. He said, no, we don't do that here. I said, we don't do that here. He said, no, it's never been done here. I said, why not? Don't we have the equipment? He said, yeah, that's the rudder stand over there, but nobody's ever done it. I said, what's the problem? Right? It's easy. He said, are you wanting to do that? I said, yeah. That's piece of cake compared to C-5. Right? And so I brought that stand over there and all the equipment over there, and all of a sudden everybody's coming out of their office. The big QA and the flight line supervisor, and they're watching this kid, right, 25 years old or somewhere around there, taking this rudder off. And, you know, in about an hour and a half, I had it off, and we inspected the bearings and did everything we were supposed to and reconnected, and all of a sudden, whoa, that one thing, right? And 9 months later, I'm running the whole show. Why? My capacity. I looked at that. I had no fear. I looked at that because I'd worked on this big, big thing that, I mean, you know, was just huge. And when it come to this little thing, it was nothing. Well, that's what God wants to do in our lives, is make these things that at one time seem so big to you, as you're enlarged, you look at it, and it's like, watch this, it ain't all that. glory to God. Hallelujah. So God needs us to lift up our eyes. There's a C-5 right there. See? On the screen. Hallelujah. Those are little guys. Wow. What?
I
Oh, it's huge. 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 Yeah. A lot of memories right there now. Hallelujah. You see how the wings are on top? If you look at commercial airlines, they're not on top like that. And the reason they put them on top is because of the payload that it was going to carry, that those wings right there would have to flex 12 feet in the air. And matter of fact, it was a big problem. It was cracking and so on and so forth, and they had to redo them. And that's where you get the C-5B model. But that front part, that visor, and the back part, you could actually drive in one end and out the other. And so just a massive engineering marvel, that airplane there. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, in our spiritual capacity, see, when you learn from your spirit and experience enlargement, then something that you used to find hard to believe, it becomes easier. And because it becomes easier, doubt don't have any place to mess with your head. Are you following this? Because you know that you know that you know, right? Okay, Exodus. Chapter 3. And verse number 7. Exodus 3:7. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in the world system, in Egypt, in 3D, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. Next verse. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large. And a large. And a large. Hallelujah. Fill in the blank. Well, I'll get there with you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It says, and a large. Large what? You fill in the blank. Aren't you tired of that car where your knees are up to your chest, squeezing in there to go to the grocery store and squeezing back out, or that little tiny bathroom? I mean, are you fed up with it, or that closet where you just don't have enough room to hang anything? And I mean, it's just squeezing in on you. Am I talking to anybody? Don't have no room in your garage to even get the car in there. I mean, just everything just all messed up. Notice it says, I am come down. The I am has come down to do what? To bring us up, out, and in. Up, out, and in. I wrote that book. Up, out, and in. Wrote that book, Living Large. That word large in the Hebrew, rakab. Watch it up on the screen. Roomy in every direction. I said roomy in every direction. Roomy in every direction. I hate tight, tight places. I just don't like it. Live that. I mean, we lived in a 30-foot camper for 3.5 years. And when we moved into the penthouse, my goodness, we thought we were in a mansion. 900 square feet or whatever it was, right? Then when we moved into the condo, 2,500 square feet, whoa, two bathrooms, 2.5 bathrooms, are you kidding me? Don't have to knock on, honey, hurry up in there. Praise the Lord, glory be to God. No, I ain't going there, hon. I don't know what you're talking about. But then when we moved into the house we're in now, 5 bathrooms? That's nice. Not waiting in line. Matter of fact, she has claimed one of those bathrooms. That's my bathroom. You don't come in that bathroom. That's my bathroom. You go in her bathroom. I mean, there's makeup and everything all around. It's all decorated. Mama Alberta. You go in my bathroom, ain't no decoration. Because I don't stay in there as long as she stays in hers. Right? But room me in every direction. Now, see, for you and I to live in room in every direction, then in every direction in our heart, we have to make room. Not learn to live in tightness. Not learn to live in just getting by. No, 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 no. Uh-uh. No. Are you hearing this? Roomy in every direction. And see, what happens is you start to get frustrated. You do. You do. You start getting like, you know, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But it's closing in on you. I said it's closing in on you. You know, back in the day, I still like doing it. To go to places that stretch me. I like to expand my horizons by experiencing a standard of living beyond where we are. Because when I do that, then it's like, okay, okay. You know, like building phase 2, I like to go around where other buildings are being built and just look at it. And just view it. That's building something way bigger than what we're building. And it makes it come into reality of, it ain't all that. I mean, there's houses that people build that are way beyond what we're building here in phase 2. See? But as long as it's in your mind, whoa, that thing is so massive, it'll always be that way. It'll always be that way. And it'll always be a struggle. Same thing with debt. As long as it's that big, then there you are. It'll always be a struggle. See? So what God does, he comes down to bring us up. And what he does, he brings us up, then out, then in. Not out and in. Because if you go out and in, once you get in, you lose it because you are not elevated up. You're not going to know how to live in. Are you following this? So God has to bring us up to be able to handle living in that. And so when he brings us up in our minds, he says, all right, lift up your eyes and see. He wants us to see beyond, right? So when we see beyond and we recognize, okay, this is what you have. Remember, he gave Solomon largeness of heart, wisdom and understanding on how to live beyond, right? In something far greater, something better than what they'd previously had. Are you with me? And so up and then out. And when it's out, it's you're not going back there anymore. I brought you out of that. I brought you out of all those coupons. Don't go back to it. There was a season for them coupons. But I brought you out of that. Anybody listening? Don't go back to that. There was a season for that Section 8. There was a season for those food stamps. But I brought you out of that. Don't go back to that. When he brings you up and out, he don't want you returning back to what he brought you out of. Reason being, he's taking you in. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Root me in every direction. Hallelujah. Do you think in heaven that your mansion's going to be right next to your neighbor's mansion? Right. Right. Exactly. It's not going to be like that. The God that created the universe and is still expanding at 186,000 miles per second is going to have your mansion here and your mansion here and your mansion here. How big a place you want? Woo! We are living way below, way beneath what God has for us. But what brings us up is what we're doing right now with the Faith Lift Conference. Are you following? The enlargement of your spiritual capacity to receive. You know how many people, they're still out there with the, well, they're preaching that prosperity gospel. As if that is a derogatory statement. I heard it the other day. Well, you know, they're preaching prosperity gospel. It's all prosperity gospel from start to finish. Right? Are you following? But yet, the devil has convinced people that any kind of resources, any kind of something beyond what you need to get by is covetous, greed. No. Remember the three. God gets all the glory. He gives hope to the other, and he gives it to you richly to enjoy in that order. Church has been broke too long. We've displayed and represented God way too far off of who God is. If he spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Jesus paid the price for you to be living well. He became poor that we through his poverty could be made rich. Now see, if you hear that word rich and you choke on it, it's because your heart's not been enlarged. And I understand that. I understand that, but don't stay there. Just search the scriptures and find out what it actually says. And when you find out what it actually says, you start to enlarge. And when you start to enlarge, you can run faster. Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay. You still all right? Roomy in every direction. First Chronicles. Roomy in every direction. Let's look in chapter 4, 1 Chronicles 4. In verse number 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God said, "You're asking way too much. Wait till you get to heaven." God granted him that which he requested. "Bless me indeed and enlarge my living space." Your coast is your living space. Your coast is your boundary. You go to the east coast, you go to the west coast, that is your boundary, right? Enlarge my coast. Give me a larger boundary. Room me in every direction. Come on now. Are you following this? And he asked for that, and he was born in sorrow. I mean, it's one thing to be born in sorrow, but to have that label put on you. I mean, his name means sorrow, Jabez. But he was more honorable than his brethren. What made him more honorable? He went to God and wasn't going to let how he was born on this planet, what people had labeled him, and what was shaping up in his life to keep him in that substandard way. And he went to God and said, "Bless me." God loves it when you come up and say, "Bless me." When your little kid comes up and says, "Daddy, can I have some ice cream? Mama, can I have a piece of cake?" You don't sit there and snap back at them. It blesses you to bless them. And when we come to our Father and you say, "Father, bless me indeed. Enlarge my place of living. Make it roomy in every direction. I can't live in this small place anymore. I can't live in this tight place." Hey! My God, you feel that going through here? Woo! And God granted him that which he requested. That's all we know about Jabez. Two verses. But the Holy Ghost made sure we had that put in there, that we could see the will of the Father. If God granted his request, then he may have had, you know, a little pull behind camper parked in somebody's driveway. And all of a sudden, God granted his request? Are you kidding me? Enlarge my coast? He dreaming big. And God will always do exceeding abundantly above all we ask, all we request or think. Spiritual capacity. Come on now. Well, we're going somewheres with this. All right. When God enlarges us, it, as in Jabez's situation, he was feeling pressure of some sort, right? And his only way out was going to be a supernatural way out. He didn't have any other way of obtaining what he was wanting in his life. And this is what's so important about 4D. It's not dependent on your paycheck. Listen, quit getting bent out of shape when I talk about paycheck. We thank God for our jobs. We thank God for our paychecks. We thank God for our raises. We thank God for our bonuses. We thank God for our businesses. We thank God for that. And we want God's hand to be in all of that. But what God wants to do in our lives supersedes your paycheck, your bonus, your business. It goes way beyond that. Way beyond that. See? Not knocking your employment. Hallelujah. See? But don't think that's it. So in Psalms, let's take a trip through Psalms. So Jabez's life was kind of in a bad way when he went to God and asked for enlargement. And God granted it. Be it unto you. Psalms chapter 4. Roomy in every direction. I just love that. Roomy in every direction. Hallelujah. Psalms 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. God don't wait for your feel-good day before he enlarges you. I realize that's a no-leap verse there. But God doesn't wait for you to be all bubbly one day and just cheery and says, okay, on your cheery, bubbly day, I'm going to enlarge you. No, we just saw Jabez he was feeling it. Right? But David said, you enlarged me when I was in distress. Come on now. Well, he didn't stop there. Psalms 118. We'll stop by Psalms 18 on the way. Psalms 18, verse 16. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Hallelujah. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into, I'm here to tell you, all that attack of the enemy that he been trying to throw at your soul, all those fiery darts, all those thoughts that it'll never happen for you, where's God at? You're a fool to believe this. You should have never done that. All that mess, right? He's got a large place in his mind for you. He gonna deliver you because he delights in you. Hey, hey. The enemy should have never messed with you. Should have never messed with you. He takes a big risk when he messes with a child of God. Yes! Well, I feel victory in the house. So the whole time, David feels surrounded. Feels like the enemy's too strong for him. While all that's going on, ain't God's up there, angels, fix that palace like this because that's where David's going. Now bring that over here. No, this is for my son David. And the angels say, well, he's surrounded by the enemy. Ain't nothing. Ain't all that. Bring that over here. No, the gold couch. The gold couch right over there. No, not that one. Come on, get that. We want the best. Bring the best. This is for my he's got a large place. Folks, get this. This is not fantasy land. All right. Let me just say it this way to help somebody sow. Your large place ready? Is bigger than what you have now. So you fill in the blank. For you, it might be 2,500 square feet. For you, it might be 5,000. For you, it might be 10,000. For you, it might be 15,000. For you, it might be 100 acres. For you, you fill in what you think a large place is. Hallelujah. He brought me forth also into large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The whole time, David's being attacked. Looks like his light's out for David. Whole time, God's got this large place. I wonder how many people go to heaven because they didn't stay steadfast with what God has spoken to them. Come on. And they just tolerated and lived in the condition that they were in. Now see, I understand the critics out there will say, listen to what he's preaching. While the world is suffering, while the world is going, you know, just sin is doing this and doing that and all the corruption that's in the world, and he's preaching this, roomy in every direction. Folks, the reason the world is in the condition it is in is because the condition the church is in. And until we rise up and live the God kind of life, that mess is going to stay out there. Hallelujah. Next verse says, he rewards me according to my righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalms 118. You still here? Roomy in every direction. David keeps saying this over and over again. He keeps testifying about this. Psalms 118, verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and got me out of distress. He went way beyond that. He set me in a large place. Folks, I'm telling you. Not only are we talking about physical places, when it just seems like things are closing in on you, when it seems like the enemy is surrounding your soul and it's just nonstop trying to tell you about your family, trying to tell you about your physical body, what he's trying to tell you about your employment, what he's trying to tell you about your dream, what he's trying to tell you about your destiny. The whole time, God's got a large place in mind for you. And when we call upon him in that distress, when we send up an SOS, God will show up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at this. Look what it says. This is how the Lord answered him. He set me in a large place. That was his answer. So God took David in the midst of the enemy attack, and how he answered him was he took David right out from all that attack and set him over here for everyone to see that he that touches my people touches the apple of my eye. Come on, someone. Come on, someone. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You still all right? I remember when I was a little kid, my daddy had his recliner. That was daddy's recliner. And when daddy's home, nobody sat in that recliner. Even if he's in the other room asleep, nobody got in that. But when he was gone, I'd hop up in there. My little feet would just be up there where he would sit. Man, I got all this space. I couldn't even reach over and pull that thing back. Have to have my sister come over, and all of a sudden, whoop. And then, when he would take his nap, there was his boots. His steel-toed boots. My daddy was a big man. He didn't have big, big feet, but his feet were way bigger than mine. And I would go, and I'd put my little feet in them boots. I had room in every direction. Right? And I'd pick that baby up and walk through her, and then I'd try to run. Bam! Why? I wasn't used to it. My feet weren't big enough. But my feet kept growing. Kept growing. Kept growing. That one day we would work side by side in the same factory. Come on now. Are you following? With my father. I'm here to tell you, God wants us to grow up in him who is the head of the church. He wants us to grow up and realize what he is. Folks, catch this. Roomy in every direction. When there's just not enough room, recognize this is not God's best. It might have been God's best for that season, but it ain't his best now. I mean, that avalanche, I got this much in the front and this much in the back. It just fits. But I got to have it on Mama Alberta's side, because if it's on where my side used to be, you wouldn't be able to walk around it to get to Mama Alberta's car. Ain't enough room. Ain't enough room. I said, ain't enough room. Are you saying you need a bigger garage for an avalanche? Yes! Ha, ha, ha. Stay with me. Second Corinthians. Talking about a large heart. So you can run like secretariat. Set world records. Second Corinthians in chapter 6. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse number 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is opened unto you, our heart is enlarged. Now what the Apostle Paul is saying, he's saying, I'm not just talking to you out of the natural. I'm talking to you out of the spirit. My mouth is open and I'm speaking out of a enlarged heart. I'm speaking 4D. I'm speaking supernatural. I'm speaking the miraculous. I'm speaking how God wants you and I to live. And he's speaking that to them and he's saying, I'm opening my mouth to you out of a enlarged heart. Follow this. Because if I'm preaching an enlarged heart to you and my heart's not ever been enlarged, then it's not going to be no rhema coming out in the house. Are you following? Okay. Now watch this. Watch this. Our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Now watch. You are not straightened in us, but you are straightened in your own bowels. We're not holding you back. You're holding yourself back. I'm preaching to you out of enlarged heart. I'm not keeping you back. It's left up to you. Follow this. Because this next statement, he says, now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Quit blaming someone else and evaluate yourself. Come on. He's saying, look, I'm speaking to you out of an enlarged heart. We're not holding you back. We're not making you straight, narrow, tight, right? And I'm speaking to you as unto the children, be ye enlarged, just like I'm enlarged. And let the enlargement be a continuous thing. It's left up to you. It's totally left up to you. It was totally left up to Jabez. It was totally left up to David. It was totally left up to Solomon. They made right choices. Those four lepers said something that was just so powerful. Why sit we here? Why tolerate our situation all the way until our life ends? See? And yeah, you may lose some friends over this. Family might look at you like, are you kidding me? What are they teaching you down there? The Bible. The Word of God. 4D. Rhema. The God kind of life. How to run faster than you've ever run. How to leap beyond where you are right now. Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Yes. Amen. Don't turn there, but you know what it says in Isaiah 54:2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Remember that? Let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Right? Right? Enlarge. You know, if you could just see your garment of salvation, if you could see your robe of righteousness that is on you, that it actually grows to your capacity of your spirit man. For instance, I wear an extra large, right? Large is just kind of a little tight sometimes, especially with all this, you know. Well, Willie, you can't wear no extra large, can you? You can? Is it tight on you? What about you, Desmond? Extra large? Y'all lying to me. Maybe we're just extra large folk. I thought we'd have some 2X and 3X in here. Bucky, praise God. Thank you, Bucky. What are you, Bucky? 3X! Thank you, Bucky. Bailed pastor out. Two X? Who's a 2X? I can fit an 8X. I'd just be going around like this. Hallelujah. The point being is that our spiritual capacity with the garments that we have, how big you get, how big on the inside you're going to get, it'll fit you just right. If you want to stay a 2X in the spirit, a 4X, a 6X, an 8X, if you understand what I'm saying, right? As you grow in God, you enlarge. let me just get out of that one, eh? That went, oops. That was a no leap right there. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Look at this. In verse number 13. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. In other words, I'm not boasting in some other person's ministry to reach you. I'm staying within what God has given me. Are you following this? For we stretch not ourselves, verse 14, beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Now watch verse 15 closely. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, watch this, when your faith is increased, that we, in turn, shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. When your faith is increased, then those that have been ministering to you that have caused your faith to increase, that it's going to have a reciprocation back onto one that was helping you increase, and we shall be enlarged. Now, that word increase, faith is increased, is ox and the, to grow enlarge. So I'm not taking it out of context, to grow enlarge, increase. And then that word enlarge is megaluno, to make or declare great, increase or enlarge. So when I'm reading, when your faith is enlarged, it's scriptural. Are you following this? So when your faith is enlarged, look what it says. When your faith is enlarged, then we shall be enlarged by you. Follow this. So there is something that happens in the body of Christ that freaks the devil out. Iron sharpens iron. God does not have me give out and not receive back. Now follow this. Having hope, when your faith is enlarged, right, that we shall be enlarged by you. And he said, I'm not boasting about some other ministry that's ministering to you. I'm talking about how I have ministered to you, right? Having hope that when your faith is enlarged, you're not going to be in the same condition. Come on. You're not going to be in the same physical condition. You're not going to be in the same financial condition. You're not going to be in the same place. You're going to be roomy in every direction. You're going to be growing in the things of God. You're going to be operating in wisdom. You're going to be operating. You're not going to be in debt anymore. You're going to have plenty in store. You're going to be moving forward. The blessing's going to be on your life. You're going to be witnessing outside these four walls. You're going to be demonstrating. You're going to be leading people to Jesus. You're going to be laying hands on the sick. You're going to be casting out devils. Hey! Shepherds feed sheep. Sheep begot or beget sheep. You following this? All right. Go with me over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Listen to this. I wrote this down. I help enlarge you by the gift of God in me. And you in turn help enlarge me by how God has gifted and blessed you. Does anybody see that? You're not just supposed to be a taker. There's all kinds of takers in the world. Right? Let me say it again. I help enlarge you by the gift of God that's in me, and you, in response to that, in turn, help enlarge me by how God has gifted you and blessed you through this ministry. How many of your lives have changed since you've come in here? Come on now. Well, how did it change? Because you walked in the door? No, it's what you're hearing, what you're being taught, right? Hands laid on you, the anointing of God moving around. See? And this is how enlargement works. God just don't enlarge you for you. He's thinking about enlarging the kingdom, advancing the kingdom. How can God use all of us to enlarge his kingdom? See, so he takes a called person of God, enlarges their understanding, has them teach that understanding. The people receive that understanding. They're enlarged by that understanding. They start living large inside, and all of a sudden their life begins to move, begins to shift, begins to change. And at the same time, when they start understanding advance the kingdom, not just getting their needs met, they start doing something to enlarge the kingdom, and they start seeking first the kingdom of God, and all these other things of enlargement are added unto them, and you're blessed, I'm blessed, kingdom of God is blessed, and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Yes! Amen! So be it! Hallelujah! Watch this now. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Nobody. There's no pilot in the Air Force that had to pay for his airplane to fly in the battle. No. He volunteered to be in there, and the taxpayers pay for it. Come on now, right? So who goes warfare anytime his own charge? Nobody. Who plants a vineyard and eats not of the fruit thereof? Nobody. I mean, if you got a tomato crop out there and you're going to give it to somebody and they say, are these good? I don't know. I ain't tried them. You lie. You see, you're gonna know how good they are. My daddy'd go out there and pull that corn right off the stalk and hand me one, and we'd eat it raw. He'd pull carrots up, take it, and just do that. Hand me one, and tell me that dirt's good for you. Serious, right? Here I am. Dirty carrots and all. Hallelujah. Right? But he's making a point here. Who goes to warfare anytime his own charge? Nobody. Who plants a vineyard and eats not of the fruit thereof? Nobody. Or who feeds a flock? Who eats a flock? Are you a flock? Who feeds a flock and eats not of the milk of the flock? Nobody. Right? Verse 8, say I these things as a 3D man? In other words, am I just talking natural? Or saith not the law, the word, the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn. In other words, it was in the law. When that ox is going around in circles, treading out the corn, don't muzzle it, because it's using its strength to produce something that you can eat. And you got to let that ox eat, because if you don't let that ox eat, he going to die, because all that corn that he's treading out for you, you're not allowing him to eat. Doth God take care for oxen? Yes. Or say it he altogether for our sakes? Or did he say that in the law for something in the fourth dimension, some kind of spiritual understanding that we're supposed to get? See? He says, for our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you 4D, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your 3D things, your carnal things. Anybody following this? We're talking about when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged by you. Are you following? In other words, there should be a performance, a demonstration of God enlarging you. And when you are enlarged by what you're being taught, then what you have been enlarged by, you ought to reciprocate back to the one that's teaching in carnal things so that they can keep treading out the corn. I thank God I'm in full-time ministry. I talk to pastors and they got a side job. I'm thinking to myself, no wonder they just preach once a week. Because, I mean, they're maxed out. They're working 40 hours plus a week, you know, to put beans on the table, right? I've been in full-time ministry ever since I've been born again. I mean, just straight up, right? Are you following this? But here we see a truth that has been overlooked, that has been neglected, that has not been put in motion by the body of Christ. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about the body of Christ, right? Right? And the whole purpose here is to keep this body of Christ moving. Right? The body of Christ functioning to where we're having fresh corn all the time, to where we're enlarging all the time, to where we're expanding all the time, to where we're advancing all the time. Are you following this? Right? Not drawing back. Watch this now. It says here, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather the electric company? They give you something, you better reciprocate. Hello? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. In other words, what he's saying, we're not going to force this issue, even though God has instituted it, because we're going to keep preaching. He goes on to say, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. I'm going to preach it whether you are responding back or not, because I have to. Are you following this? But when we understand, how the system operates, right? How enlargement happens. You are enlarged, I'm enlarged, we are enlarged together. All of us at the same time when this thing is operating right. Ephesians chapter 4, we're closing. Ephesians chapter 4. Roomy on every side. Ephesians 4. Look what it says. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase or enlarges, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So how God connects us, every joint has a supply. You go, if you talk to the body of Christ at large, every joint has a need. The altars fill up with need. Are you following? Not supply. But every joint, every person that is born again, God wants to connect you to the local assembly, the local gathering, the family of God, where you are fitly joined together. And once you find that place, that is your place of enlargement. That's where God is going to release rhema to you that you're going to be enlarged by. And when you're enlarged by it, there should be something that comes back out of your enlargement. Not only are you having needs met, there's a supply coming forth out of you. And this thing is working like this, perpetual. You seeing this? Perpetual. Perpetual. Nonstop. Advancing. Enlarging. You see that? Thy will run the way of your commandments when thou, Lord, hath enlarged my heart. Now, I just challenge you to get in front of God like Jabez did and say, God, enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. See? And when he's going to enlarge your coast, he's going to enlarge you first. And all of a sudden, everything is just closing in. What's going on? You're getting big in here. You're getting big in here. You're getting where I can't stay like this. My goodness. I mean, when Alberta and I were in the camper, we had one closet. Just what? Well, it had a little thing up there. Had my two suits in it and her four or five dresses. And then there was three or four drawers underneath it. That was it. When we moved into the penthouse, we had one closet, but it was a walk-in. I was on this side. She was on that side. Right? When we moved into the condo, she took one room closet, and I took another room closet. Each time, more stuff was coming in. More stuff was coming in. Now? Hallelujah. She has the upper level that used to be supposedly three bedrooms and is now Mama's dressing rooms. Two walk-in closets that are maxed out. She's got shelves that I had to put together that are loaded down. Right? Right? And in the master bedroom, there's two, you open it up, closet from this side to this side, two of them with my stuff. That's not even the walk-in closet. Walk-in closet, there's no room for another suit in there. There just ain't no more room. It's closing in on us. Don't get mad at that. See, somebody getting mad at that. Don't get mad at that. Follow that. Well, he don't need all that. He don't need. Right, I don't need all that. I can just have one suit like I started up here in Frankfort and keep preaching, but you ain't going to follow a one suit preacher. Expansion, enlargement, enlargement. Come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, husbands. Your wives want more than that. I tell you right now, they want more than that. They being real nice right now, but they want more than that. And I know it. Hallelujah. Jesus said to the disciples, go in there and into town there, and you'll find a real small upper room that we can all squeeze in? No. He says a large upper room. Furnished. Boy, I felt something when I said that. You better get ready for some furnishing. You better get ready for some furnishing. I see furniture coming your way. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, 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 hey. Woo! My goodness. See, when things come like that, that's prophetic. It's not me thinking this up. See? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabakabasata. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Quit looking at that small place. Hallelujah. That you can afford. Quit looking at what you can afford. Let God lead you where He wants you. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Your job is not to ask yourself, how might this thing be? Your job is to hear from heaven. And whatever He tells you, then cancel out your noggin when it tries to figure out how it's going to happen. Did you hear from heaven? Did God say that that was your car? Did God say that was your house? Did God say that was yours? Did God say that was yours? If He said it, I said if He said it, no hell can stop it. The only thing that can stop it is you thinking goofy, trying to figure out how it's going to happen, how it's going to come to you. Forget about that. Believe what He said. All things are possible to him that believeth. Yes. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. Yes! 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 You ain't seen nothing yet! Hallelujah! 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 Glory, glory, glory! Woo! We're well able. We're well able to take the land. And what's happening in here? I know it's requiring you to shift your whole work schedule around and your evenings around and all that, but it's going to be worth it when you see what God is doing in you. And how you're going to see it is your eyes are being lifted up to see beyond 3D, to see what God really has for you and I. It's an enlargement. It's an enlargement. And you're not going to settle for less. You're not going to settle for Ishmael. No, you're not going to settle for less. No, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good and fat of the land. God has the best for you, and He'll teach you how to choose the best. that circle of blessing that he has promised you. Hallelujah. So now you see why Secretariat is so dear to my heart. More than a Triple Crown winner. It was how he won it. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just like you have to believe God that when you come in here, that you're going to hear something from this holy desk that is going to confirm, that is going to challenge, that is going to reveal truth to you. I have to come in here and believe that you're getting it. And as you get it, you will do your part in every joint supplying. Lift your hands. Let me bless you. Father, blessings upon these, your people, as they go the way, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially. I bless them out of the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Go enjoy your day, and I'll see you Tuesday night. Be a blessing.